I'm speaking to The Guardian's Chris McGreal, who's in Benghazi and has been out speaking to various people and groups. Chris, what's been the reaction to the botched British operation?
Well, amongst the leadership, what now calls itself the Provisional Transitional National Council of Libya, there's general mystification. The first thing is that they suggest that the British forces and diplomats or MI6 officials that arrived portraying themselves as diplomats just didn't seem to know who they were looking for. They didn't seem to know who was in charge in Benghazi, and they portray them as really searching out anybody that they could find to talk to. This left the members of the council who were told about these British officials arriving, you know, mystified as to what their intent was, and at least according to the ones I've spoken to, no formal offers or approaches were made. There was just an attempt to make contact. This seems to have frustrated the new Libyan leadership, not least because they say it was done what they've described as an indefensible way, an illegal way, instead of a straightforward public approach to the new council. There was this covert operation, which only raised their suspicions further, in part because, of course, until recently, the British government had been helping to train Gaddafi's military.
And the Provisional Transitional National Council for Libya, have they issued any demands?
They've held their first meeting, and they've essentially outlined a series of objectives and demands. Amongst the objectives, they say, is to see the total overthrow of Gaddafi. They're not going to settle for a division of the country. They're not going to stop the rebellion against his rule. They say that they will press on, even if it seems to be settling into a form of stalemate. They are asking the international community to assist them by essentially stopping recognizing Gaddafi's regime and demanding that foreign governments recognize this council as the legitimate representative and governs in the area still under Gaddafi's control. And they want the imposition of sanctions. They want the imposition of a no-fly zone to prevent Gaddafi's jets attacking rebel-held areas. And they essentially want his regime declared entirely illegitimate by the international community and the recognition of this council as the legitimate rulers of the country.
And you've been speaking to people in Benghazi. What's the view of the sort of continuing clashes and violence, and in terms of how long this might go on for? How much of an appetite is there for the continuing sort of scale of violence, if you like?
Well, after the initial euphoria of the rebels' successes against Gaddafi, I think there's a realization that this could take quite a bit longer than they thought. The back and forth on what I suppose you might describe as the Eastern Front, with Gaddafi's forces moving forward tens of kilometers and then being driven back, seems to have settled into a kind of stalemate, at least for now. People in Benghazi, of course, are very fearful that the fighting will be brought back to the city, perhaps with air attacks. But at the same time, there seems a determination to continue this no matter what, not least because when you ask people about whether they're fearful of Gaddafi returning, they say if his forces were to return to take control of Benghazi and other towns in the east that have now been liberated, so to speak, then they would pay a very high price. There would be massive retribution. They would expect large numbers of people to be killed. So they portray themselves as essentially in a death struggle with Gaddafi, and that only one side can win. Consistently, from members of the ruling council to just ordinary Libyans in the city, you hear the same message, which is, you know, we've thrown in our lot with this rebellion, and there's no backing out now.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that, Chris, and all the best.
Okay.